So I want to get into the Word this morning. We're going to jump into Matthew. I got a couple scriptures we're going to read today. Matthew 3. We're going to stop there. Matthew 3, 11. If you want to stand for the reading of the Word, let's do that this morning. Matthew 3, we're going to start there and then also jump to Luke 24, 49. And we're going to jump to Acts 1 after that. So a couple scriptures here we're going to jump to. It's going to be real quick on the first two. Matthew 3, 11. If you're there, say, I got the power. You got the power. That's the song right there. It says this, I baptize you with water, those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who's greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be a slave and carry his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We're going to jump to Luke 24, 49. This is Jesus speaking. It was John the Baptist before. Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we'll stop there on that one this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Jesus, for stirring a hunger in us today. A divine dissatisfaction, Lord, that would pull us out of apathy, out of slumber, that there would be an awakening from your Holy Spirit today, God. I thank you for us awakening to the spiritual reality of what you've done and what you want to do in our lives, God. So I just thank you for a stirring this morning, Jesus, that we're going to leave forever changed and transformed by the power of your word and the power of your spirit today. So I just thank you as the word goes forth, things are going to be stirred, things are going to be activated, things are going to be released because you're working in our hearts. So Holy Spirit, we just give you permission. We surrender to you this morning and say, do whatever you want to do in us today. We just want to receive what you have for us and we receive it by faith in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, as we get into scripture this morning, I really want to talk to you about the theme of being clothed with power. Clothed with power. How many know it's God's intention, his will, his desire for you to be clothed with power? Like heaven wants to dress you today with garments, and it's with power. Power from on high. You know, in the natural, we wear different kinds of clothing. We wear different kinds of labels of clothing. When I was a kid, it was Nike. That's what I wore. I was branded, I think. You know, as I played sports and I saw Michael Jordan play, I'm like, I got to have the Air Jordan. So everything I wore was like Nike shoes, Nike shorts, Nike shirt, the socks, all the works and stuff like that. That's kind of what I wore growing up. Now it's like whatever I can find on the discount rack. That's kind of how I shop now. It's like, is that on sale? Okay, that's good. I'll wear that as long as it fits. And you could be like Travis Fish too. He's all decked out in Adidas all the time, like Adidas shoes, Adidas pants, shirt. I think he should really kind of be a model for Adidas at this point because he's so decked out in it. There's different kind of clothing that we wear in the natural and different kind of labels, but God's not as concerned in the natural what the brands and the labels that we wear, but he is concerned that if we're clothed with the power on high or not. That's what he's concerned about. Is anything that we draw from the Bible, it's that God wants us to be dressed and clothed with power from on high. That is his desire for us, to empower us, to fill us, to equip us, to enable us, to strengthen us. That is his desire and intention for us. And my prayer is today that we'd awaken to that spiritual reality. That's what God wants for us. For us to be filled with power, the Holy Spirit, anointed carriers of his presence. That's an amazing thing to think about. That God wants to clothe us. He didn't save us, but now he wants to empower us so we can walk not just in natural things, but supernatural things. And my prayer today, not only will we awaken to that spiritual reality, but we'd have a deeper hunger for the person and the power and the presence of God. Like there would be a hunger stirred in each and every one of us for the presence of God, to get to know Holy Spirit, that he is a person. He's not just some dove just floating around sometimes in our mind what we think of or some mystical thing. And sometimes it's hard to understand because we understand God the Father, God the Son, but there's God the Holy Spirit, but He's a person. He has emotions. You can grieve Him. He's not a bully. He's not a pushover. He's not a controller, but He wants to fill your life if you let Him. The devil wants to possess you. He wants to control, but God wants to fill you if you let Him in your life. And my prayer is that we get a deeper hunger for the power and the presence of God and say, you know what? I'm not satisfied. I don't want to stay in apathy. Lord, would you awaken me from my slumber? Lord, would I go into deeper things of you, God, that I wouldn't just go to church and check it off for my week or just check off that I read my Bible, but I want to go deeper in your presence and have a hunger for you and for who you are. I'm praying that a hunger would rise up in us today, that there would be a divine dissatisfaction, a stirring in each and every one of us. And then we come with a level of expectation to receive what God has for us, what Jesus has for us, that we receive that clothing of power. And we receive it by faith. Just through salvation, we received it by faith. We receive the equipping, the empowerment, the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. It's nothing that we have done, but it's everything that He has done. And we just receive it through the finished work of Jesus. God wants to clothe you with power today from on high, equip you, enable you, and strengthen you with His Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing to think about. It's an awesome thing when we really get into it. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus, He's about to go back to the Father, and He's about to ascend back to heaven, and He's talking to the disciples, and He's giving them His last words. How many know last words are important? People hang on people's last words. They write books on people's last words. And He's given them His last words, His final instructions before He goes back to heaven, back to the Father. And He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there. I want you to wait. That's not a word that we typically want to hear from God. Like, wait, stay. We want the green light. Let's go, God. Let's do this. But He's like, wait, because there's got to be an infilling before you're going. Wait there until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, and then you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father. It's better that I go. And if I was one of the disciples, I'd be like, what do you mean it's better that you go? You're here in bodily form, and we're talking, we're walking with you, we're eating with you, and you're teaching us. How can it get any better than this? I think I'd have a hard time computing or understanding what He's saying in that moment. But He said, it's better that I go to the Father, because if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit to you. And it's going to be better that He comes, because not only is He going to be with you, but He's going to be in you. And He's going to fill you. He's going to clothe you. He's going to empower you with power in your life. I love how the Amplified says about the Holy Spirit. It says He's going to be our advocate. He's going to be our counselor. He's going to be our strengthener. He's going to be our intercessor. He's going to be our standby. He's going to be our helper, our strength. He's going to be all those things, and He's going to lead us and guide us in all truth. He's going to come along and support us and be with us and never leave us nor forsake us, but not only be with us, be in us, that we carry the presence of God, the anointing of God. It's like, I'm going to be in you. That's an amazing thought, that God sent His Holy Spirit. He's like, it's better that I go, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you, and He's going to fill you. He's going to equip you. And then you're going to be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the most parts of the earth. He gave them a mandate, and He said, I'm going to go to the Father, and I want you to preach the gospel to all creation. I want you to preach it, but before you go, I want you to wait on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be the witnesses that I desire you to be. You know, there's salvation. Salvation is kind of the doorway into the kingdom. As we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we confess His name by faith. We believe on Him by faith, and we enter into the doorway, but that's just the doorway into the kingdom. I'm thankful for the gift of salvation. I don't know about you. I'm so thankful for the gift of salvation, that God has saved us. It's not by our works or our power, but it's by what He's done, the finished work of Jesus. But salvation is just into the doorway of the kingdom. God's like, I got more for you. I got more for you. And a lot of us, we just stay at the doorway. We just stop at the door. I'm like, that's enough. You know, this is as far as I want to go. I'm going to go to heaven now. I'm good with Jesus. But God's like, I've got more for you. You think the gift of righteousness is awesome? Wait till you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to blow your mind with that gift that I have for you. He's like, I've got more for you. I've got the gift of the Holy Spirit that I want to give to you. Because I want to give it to you so that you be carriers in it and be a carriers of the anointing of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go, that you would not just walk in natural power, but supernatural power. Not just being normal, but extra normal. Not just human, but walking in supernatural power, making a supernatural difference everywhere you go, not just a natural difference. And as sons and daughters, we need to live from that awareness, so from that place that we are carriers, that we are clothed with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere we go. So when we walk into a room, we just don't walk into the room, but we're able to change the spiritual atmosphere of that room. We're able to change the spiritual atmosphere when we walk into rooms. Like we sing the song, when God walks into the room, everything changes. But as sons and daughters, when we walk into the room, everything changes. We don't have to be a thermometer, but we can be a thermostat in the rooms that we go into, in the environments, in the atmospheres. That's why you might go into work and somebody might say, you know what, there's just something different about you. I don't know what it is. But when I get around you, I just feel so alive. I feel so full of joy. I have hope. I have peace when I get around you. There's something different about you. And some people may be like, if they don't know Jesus, or like, maybe it's your energy. I don't know what it is, but it's like, it's Jesus on the inside of me. It's his spirit on the inside of me. People sense that as we walk into the room and we're able to change environments. God doesn't want us just to be a part of environments, but he wants us to be creators and changers of environments that we walk into. He wants us to change the environments that we go into. And it's easy for us as believers to lose sight of the need to be clothed with power sometimes. To lose sight of that we get focused on a side of Christianity that we need to do more, be more active, or I've got to do this, I've got to love more, I've got to be more forgiving. That side is true. We can get in that aspect, and there is some vital parts of that, but we got to get to a place where we're completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit, where we need the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. We have complete dependency upon him. It's not about just what we do. We move from it's just on me, where we move to it's on him and his power, him enabling us, him equipping us. We move to that place. Jesus said, it's not you just giving, but freely receive. Now you freely give. We need to balance our doing with our receiving. Where we move, where it's just not on me, but it's on him moving through me. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you understand that Jesus, as the Son of God, he didn't do anything just as the Son of God. He didn't heal the sick as the Son of God. He didn't raise the dead as the Son of God. He didn't cast out demons as the Son of God. He didn't do any of that as the Son of God. But the Bible says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. So therefore, people were set free. People were delivered. He showed us a life, what it's like to live submitted to the Father's will, but also completely dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. He showed us what is possible when we posture ourselves in that way. And that takes the pressure off of us. So I'm glad, because I can't save people. I can't deliver people in myself. I can't heal people, but the Holy Spirit through me can. He said the same power that I had to overcome temptation is the same power I'm going to give to you. Same power I had to pull down strongholds is the same power I'm giving to you. The same power I had to face my critics and rejection is the same power I'm giving to you. The same power I had to cleanse a leper, heal the sick, raise the dead is the same power that I'm giving to you. He gives us power. He literally gives us power to live the Christian life, to live the Christ life. Everything I'm unable to overcome or to resist, or the pressure I'm unable to bear up under, he literally gives us the power to live the Christ life, to live this Christian life. Because this life is not just hard. It is impossible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in and of yourself. That's why some of us might be frustrated today, because we're trying to do it in our own power and in our own strength. We're like, I can't do this. I just want to give up. I just want to quit. But God's like, no, let me do it through you. Let me live my life through you. We're striving. We're trying to do our best. And we just need to position ourselves, surrender to the dependency of the Holy Spirit, and let him live through us. He literally gives us like power assistance. I don't know if you've ever driven a car without power steering. It's very difficult to drive. Like, I thought I was, might have been, I had a little bit of muscles, but apparently I don't when I drive a car without power steering. It's like you're just pushing that thing. You're just wearing out a little bit. It's like, I'm going to make this corner. It's like, by the time you get 10 minutes down the road, it's like my arms just feel like noodles, you know? That's how it feels sometimes when we're trying to live without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm trying to love. I'm trying to love my coworkers. It's really difficult trying to have joy. I'm trying to have peace. I'm trying to forgive. But when the Holy Spirit comes along, it's like the power assistant kicks in. It's like, okay, it's a little easier now. I can love, because love is not natural. It is supernatural. It's not us just striving, but we're positioning ourselves in a place where it's a byproduct, it's a fruit of the Spirit flowing through us, the joy, the love, the peace. He literally gives us power assistance to live this life. I'm so thankful that he enables us, he empowers us, he gives us the ability to live this life. And sometimes we try to do it in our own human ability and our own efforts. And when we do that, we can't change the world in which we live. We're trying to do it in our own efforts and our own ability. We're going to get tired and exhausted and worn out, because it's not our ability or our efforts that breaks the yokes of bondage. It's not. It's the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage. It's the anointing. And we have a generation right now that's fearless about they're fearful about their future and their destiny, and they're enslaved in fears and anxieties. And we need to be a people right now that are just not just operating in natural power, but that we have are carriers of the anointing and the power of God and walking in supernatural power, so we can go around and break the yokes of bondage. God through us, so the captive can be set free. It's because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, the Holy Spirit we talk about, some people get a little nervous. It's like, I'm not sure about that. You start talking about tongues. I'm like, that's where I'm jumping off ship right there. Do I have to speak in tongues? No, you get to speak in tongues. You get to. It's empowerment. It's enabling. It opens you up to the spiritual realm, which you wouldn't have access to before. Some people think the Holy Spirit makes people weird. But I'm just telling you, people are weird. And a lot of them are found in Walmart. That's where a lot of them are at. Just telling you right now. I've seen a lot of weird stuff there. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. He makes you powerful. When you walk into the room, demons begin to flee. Demons flee. He makes you powerful. And what we need right now is just not some just nice, good Christians, which that's okay, but we need some Christians that are clothed with power. The world desperately needs us right now. We can't change the world in which we live in, the atmospheres around us, without being clothed in power. That's the people and sons and daughters we need to be and need to flow in and operate in, flowing in the power of God. This isn't just some Pentecostal thing or charismatic thing or denominational thing, but this is a Jesus thing. He said, I've got to go to the Father, so that when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to clothe you with power from on high. You need to be clothed with power. If you're a business owner, you need to be clothed with power. Like, you're making decisions and affecting your community, affecting other people's lives. I need to be clothed with power. Mom and dads, we need to be clothed in power. Like, a lot of us are like, where is that prayer line at? I'm going to sign right up for that. All the things our kids are facing nowadays with the COVID stuff and just all this chaos in this world and the brokenness in this world. It's like, man, we need the power of God. We need to be clothed with power. Grandparents, you need to be clothed with the power of God. Students, teachers, you need to be clothed with the power of God. We need to be clothed with it. You know, I'm not against gaining knowledge or having a learned mind or growing in those things, but it's not really my rational thought that's going to bring glory to God. It's not my rational thought. And as a preacher, you know, I don't want you to have just complete faith in my speech or eloquence of words, but the Apostle Paul said that we don't put rest our faith in man's wisdom, but on God's power. That's what he said. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians. He said, 1 Corinthians 2:4, he said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Paul said, I didn't come to you with the best message. I didn't come to you with all these stories or 3 points in a poem and put a good bow on the end of it and wrap it up. I didn't come with you with the best preaching message, but I did come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I came to you with something supernatural. I came to you with an impartation of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't my eloquence of words or my speech, but it's the Holy Spirit began to transform lives. I came with a demonstration of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. As a preacher, sometimes you want to maybe grow in your craft or, you know, your communication, and I don't want you to ever leave. Like, what in the world is he talking about? I had no clue what he was saying today, you know? It's like, hopefully today's not one of those days, but you want to grow in your craft a little bit. It's like, maybe if I add this story, if I add these scriptures, maybe it'll make it better. But at the end of the day, it's not my speech or my words or my storytelling, but it's when God shows up in the middle of what we're doing, in the middle of our gathering, and begins to transform lives. I believe that we are a church that comes in expecting God to move, that we have an expectation. We're drawing on heaven. That we're under an open heaven, that we're believing that we're going to encounter God every time we come to this place. Like, somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to get set free. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. That we'd come in with that expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to move. We just don't know what he's going to do today. I pray that we'd have that kind of hunger and awakening, that God would pull us out of our apathy, that we'd have that kind of expectation every time we come to this place. Doesn't matter if we sing 2 songs, 3 songs, 5 songs. We don't preach. It's like, God, did you do what you wanted to do today? We just are positioning ourselves for you to move in our lives and that there would be an impartation of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to bring people to some human intellectual ascent, but it's an impartation of the Holy Spirit that transforms lives. Because without the power of God, our faith is really empty. We're limited. We can only do what is possible. If all we have is philosophies, intellectual arguments, and theologies, and theories without the power of God, and we can't change the world in which we live. Can't change the world around us. We just become a religion, a social club, a religious institution without the power of God. It's like, God, I want a deeper hunger for your presence. God, I want to awaken to the reality of who you are, Holy Spirit. I want a more of a passion for your presence and who you are. I pray that God would stir that in us today, that we'd have a hunger to see Holy Spirit move in our lives and the lives of others around us and change the atmospheres around us. You know, the early church of Acts, they were completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He was a vital part of everything that they did. We see in Acts where there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and he came in suddenly like a mighty rushing wind, and they began to speak with other tongues and tongues of fire. We see God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day, and you fast forward, you see Peter preaching a sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. Maybe without the power of God, 3 would only got saved that day. That's the difference between having the power of God or not. Maybe only 3 without, but 3 with the power of God, you might have had 3,000 saved that day. That's the difference when we have the power of God operating in our lives. You keep going, you see a lame man healed, and you get to Acts chapter 4, and here they are again. They're being threatened. And they come together, they begin to pray, and they begin to seek God. And they're saying, God, would you stretch out your hand again, which is code signal. Send the Holy Spirit again, that we may speak your word with boldness. Give us boldness. We're praying, Holy Spirit, that you would give us boldness. They're praying that the Holy Spirit would come. And the place was shaken where they were meeting. And the Holy Spirit came and everybody was filled. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I believe that some of us would get shook a little bit. That God would shake us up a little bit. That he'd shake us out of our apathy. Shake us out of our slumber. That's what the Holy Spirit does. They were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He began to move in that place where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And for us, I'm just praying that we'd get that hunger in us. And we read in Acts chapter 2, we see this happening throughout Acts. We say, what is the lesson to be learned in this? You know, here, Apostle Paul and Peter, they experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, but it's just 3 weeks later, maximum, they're asking for the Holy Spirit again. Just 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That's all they lasted. 3 weeks. That tells me there's a kind of a duality to our Christianity. There's a side of integrity, and then there's the other side of power and anointing, where integrity needs to be maintained, but power and anointing needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed. It's like a cell phone battery that goes down and diminishes, and we got to plug back into the power of God for the power to go back up again, to be renewed, that we get filled again. There's one infilling, but many refillings after. We need some refillings once in a while where the power may be diminished, or we need to be renewed when plugged back into that. Some of us might have had an encounter years ago with God, the power of God, and we had felt the fire of God, like we were passionate going to church, or maybe passionate about the things of God and passionate about His Word, but the fire began to dwindle and the power began to dwindle, and it just became a routine of motions, and we lost maybe that love and that fire for God. And it's not God's desire for you to just have one moment of revival and many seasons of dryness and weariness. We have seasons of dryness and weariness, but that's not God's desire for you. But He wants you to have moments of encounter with Him, that we live from a place of dynamic encounters. And when we live from that place, we can change the world around us. But if you don't have it, you can't give it. If you don't have the infilling, you can't go and be the witnesses that He wants us to be, to the capacity that He wants us to be. I'm not telling us to do more, but I'm just saying get more hungry for Jesus. That's what I'm saying today. Get more hungry for Jesus. The prayer that John G. Lake prayed, God, would you make me hungry for you? That was one of the most powerful prayers, I think, he prayed. God, would you make me hungry for you, hungry for your presence? That we'd have a hunger for heaven to invade our communities, to invade our families, to invade our homes, that there would be a habitation of the Holy Spirit in our homes, that we'd have such a hunger to invite Holy Spirit into our lives, the power of God into our lives and to our homes. God, would you give us that kind of hunger, a divine dissatisfaction, that there'd be a stirring in each and every one of us, that hunger would abound, that awareness of Him would increase, and that we come back to Him to be filled again and again and again. A place of overflow in our lives. John said He's going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost, but also with fire. With fire. Leviticus, it says, don't let the fire go out like 6 times. Don't let the fire go out. Like, don't let the fire go out. Like, God is a consuming fire, and He dwells in perpetual burnings. When you look at the Old Testament, Elijah, he's standing on the top of Mount Carmel, and he's talking to Israel, and he says, how long are you going to dwell between these two opinions? Like, if God is your Lord, follow Him, or if Baal is your Lord, follow after Him. And they're like mute and apathetic. He challenged them, and he begins to look up, begins to pray, God, would you send down your fire? God that answers with fire, would you send down your fire? And the altar that He constructed, the Holy Ghost and fire came down and consumed the altar, the stones, the water that had been poured repeatedly over it, consumed the altar. The fire fell. And it says the people, the apathetic people, Israel, begin to jump up and begin to declare that He is Lord, that He is God. He is the Lord. He is God. And I'm praying that the fire of God would begin to rise up in each and every one of us, that the consuming fire would begin to consume us, and we begin to stand up out of apathy, out of slumber, and begin to declare that He is our God. He is our Lord. I don't want to stay in this place, but I want to hunger after You, that there would be a fire that would begin to rise in each and every one of us from the Holy Spirit. He's a consuming fire. In the Old Testament, there's something called the Shekinah. The Shekinah. And the Shekinah was in the tabernacle. And it dwelt in the inner court. It was like a glow and a fire. And it brought favor to Israel. And it was a very presence and the very glory of God. And Israel went to a place of exile because of their sin. And Ezekiel saw it returning back to heaven. And there's this 400 years where it was absent until the day of Pentecost. Till the day of Pentecost, it says that with the outpouring of the Spirit that they began to pray with tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. The Shekinah came to you and me. We are now the tabernacle for the Holy Ghost and fire. Why is that significant? Because what branded them as God's people and what brought favor to God's people, what gave them victory in the day of battle, what gave them confidence in the day of opposition, what brought them near to the presence of God is now on the inside of you and me. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost and fire now. And so they begin to pray with tongues of fire. We have the Holy Ghost and fire now on the inside of us. But it's our responsibility to keep the fire going, to not let the fire go out. You know, you look at fires by nature. You know, maybe you have a gas fireplace. You just press a button and it goes, psh, just ignites and it stays. You don't have to give any attention to it. But an open fire, you've got to be attentive to it. Like, you've got to start it. You can throw a log on it, but you've got to come back and stir it and poke it, or else it's going to dwindle and go out. And it's the same thing with our faith, with the Holy Spirit and fire, the presence of God. We got to be attentive. If we're not, it can dwindle and go down and go out. We got to plug back in the power of God, begin to stir the fire of God in each and every one of us. We got to be attentive to the presence and the power of God and the stirring in each and every one of us. That fire's on the inside of us if we've received the Holy Ghost. And how we stir that, I believe, is praying in tongues. That's one of the ways. Praying in tongues. Like we are a tongue-talking church. And I grew up not understanding that, but I'm like, I got to a place when I was 17. I'm like, God, if this is you, I want it. I want all that you have. I don't care what form or fashion it comes in, but if it's you, I want it, Jesus. I remember just praying at my church growing up, and I was just praying that. I was just hungry for God. I was like, God, I want you right now. I was having encounters with Jesus and his love and all that he was. I'm like, and I began to hear about this tongue thing. I'm like, Jesus, if this is you, I want it. And I began to hear this word, and I began to pray it by faith and begin just to flow out of me. Tongues is, it enabled us and empowers us to operate in the spiritual realm and gives us access. It's a kingdom resource that we have available. It is proof. We see throughout the scripture, we see people baptized with the Holy Ghost and they begin to speak with other tongues, but it's just more than proof. And if you don't have your language, there's no condemnation. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're less than by any means. It's just another level of empowerment. There's many different baptisms. There's being baptized in Christ at salvation, where the Holy Spirit baptizes us in him. There's being baptized in water, but then there's also Jesus baptizing us in his Holy Spirit in fire. It's just another level of empowerment that we need. And if you're believing for that, I believe that God's going to give that to you. It's a promise and a gift that he wants you to have. He wants you to experience that in your life. It says when we pray in tongues, we have direct access to God. We are praying directly to him. It talks about in 1 Corinthians. Sometimes we don't know what to pray, and the Spirit makes intercession through us. It talks about in Romans 8:27, in our weaknesses, the Spirit of God prays through us. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray. There's been things I've gone through in my life. I don't even know how to put it in natural words, but I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and there begins to be a stirring on the inside of me and an enablement and an empowerment that comes from him when I pray in the Holy Ghost. It talks about it in Jude that it stirs up our utmost holy faith. That it stirs us up. It's a kingdom resource that God gives us that opens us up to operate in the spiritual realm that we couldn't otherwise before. Just another opportunity for us. For God wants to enable us and empower us with his Holy Spirit, to clothe us with power. He wants us to have that. And for some of us today that maybe you've never experienced that, maybe you've never experienced tongues, or maybe there was a time that you did once and you haven't since, just do it by faith. It's not like Jesus or the Holy Spirit just takes over your body, but we do it by faith. Maybe some of us today, we've lost the fire and the fire has dwindled, and maybe we had an encounter with Jesus maybe years ago and we're living through perpetual seasons of dryness and weariness. God's like, I want to fill you back up again. I want to refill you. with my spirit, with my power, with all that I am. Sometimes we need refillings. You might be in that place today, or maybe the fire has just dwindled a little bit. And I believe God wants to spark, reignite the flame in your life, that there would be an awakening in you, that there would be a hunger that would begin to rise up in you for his power, for his presence, for the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that God would give us that hunger today, that we'd take and go into the world and change the world in which we live. And we can only do that when we're clothed with the Holy Spirit and power. It's for you today, the Holy Spirit. It's for you. This is what it says in Luke. It says, Luke 11:13 says, "If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Just ask. We have not because you asked not. Just ask. Just, "Jesus, I want you. I want your Holy Spirit. I want all that you have for me. I want to be clothed with power to enable me, to equip me, to strengthen me." All you got to do is ask. Just ask him. He wants to give it to you. It's a gift and a promise for you today. And I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that it be an impartation of the Holy Spirit today. If you want to just stand this morning, I want to pray for us. I believe that God wants to impart some things to us today. Maybe you today came in and said, "You know what, I've not received my prayer language. The fire's gone out a little bit, and I need God to refill my life. I want him to awaken me to the reality of who he is, the Holy Spirit, that he would awaken a deeper hunger in me for his presence, for his power, for the person of the Holy Spirit." And if that's you this morning, he says, "You know what, I don't want to stay in apathy. I don't want to stay in slumber. I just don't want to go through the motions of religious activity, but I want to live in this exciting adventure journey with the Holy Spirit." Like, what is he going to do today? I don't know. Like, it's exciting when you're partnering with the Holy Spirit and he's moving through your life. And you say, "You know what, I want to receive that power today. I want to be clothed with power today." If that's you this morning, I just want you to lift your hands this morning to heaven and say, "You know, I want to receive that today. I want to be clothed with power." If there's anybody here this morning who says, "You know what, I haven't received the Holy Spirit, maybe speaking with tongues, I want to pray for you that you receive that today." If that's you this morning, hasn't received that, I just want you to come forward and I'll pray for you today. And I believe God wants to give that to you this morning. Right now, Jesus, I just thank you for clothing us, filling us today, refilling, recharging, renewing us today through the power of your Holy Spirit. Maybe some of us, the fire has dwindled, gone out. I thank you for fanning the flames today, Holy Spirit, that there be a recharging, a refilling today of your power, of your fire. I thank you, Holy Spirit and fire, for rising up on each and every one of us this morning, that there would be a consuming fire that would begin to come over us and we begin to burn for you and then other people to watch us burn for you. So I thank you for an impartation of your Holy Spirit right now. I thank you right now for filling us right now. We just ask, would you fill us, Jesus? Would you fill us with your power? Would you fill us with your fire? Would you fill us with all that you are today? We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for filling us. Thank you for waking us to the spiritual reality of what you've done and what you've clothed us with. I thank you for a deeper hunger for your presence, for your power. God, that we would have a divine dissatisfaction today. I don't want to stay in apathy. I don't want to stay in slumber. I don't want to go through the motions and live life of mediocrity, God, but I want to rise up and begin to declare that you are God. That you are God. And I just declare today that signs, wonders, and miracles are going to follow us. That this people, we are a people of signs, wonders, and miracles. That we are carriers of the anointing, of your power. And wherever we go, we're going to change the world in which we live. We're going to break the yokes of bondage in people's lives and set people free because of your spirit that's on the inside of us. So I just declare today that we are a powerful people. We are a powerful people in you because you've made us powerful, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. Just thank him. Just thank you for filling us. Thank you for saving us. But thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being our advocate, our counselor, our strengthener, our standby, our helper. That you'll never leave us, never forsake us, but you're always with us. Right now, we're just dependent upon you. We're going to rest in you. We just thank you for filling us today. Thank you for an overflow. Everywhere we go, it's going to splash out onto other people, to the world around us. They're going to be like, what is different about you? There's something different about you. It's the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. So we just thank you for your power, your fire, awakening us, refilling us, recharging us, renewing us today by your Spirit. We're going to burn for you. We just thank you that you dwell on the inside of us today. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody here this morning who says, you know what, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior of my life, I just want you to lift your hand and pray, and I'll lift up your hand and I'll pray for you this morning. Amen. Well, I just declare over you today that you're a bunch of kingdom shakers, powerful people filled with his Holy Spirit, his power and his fire, that you are a people clothed with his power, changing the world around us in which we live. And I just thank you today that signs, wonders, and miracles are going to follow us for those that believe. So I just thank you today, Jesus. I bless your people. Bless your sons and daughters. Bless them in their coming and their going. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking to our hearts as we leave this place. And we continue this journey with you and this adventure with you every single day, developing this relationship with you. And I thank you for the joy that's going to come forth from it. And we thank you today, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.